Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Thing I Love Most show. And once again, we are loving our football team because they won on Saturday, getting our first 3 points of the season, getting us up that league table. And it was an interesting game. And so we're going to be talking about the game, all the news surrounding it. And then we're also going to be discussing, of course, the big game that we have coming up at the weekend against Manchester City. So we have some of our usual guests. We have Lee, the Dorset Spur. Dorset Lee, welcome.
Hello. All right.
Yeah, very good, thanks. All right, mate, that was a bit country, wasn't it? You've been losing your Hackney accent down there.
I've been on a cider.
Oh, wicked. And we have Mr. Lee Curtin. How you doing, Lee?
Yeah, good. Yourself?
Yeah, not bad. He was with me at the game on Saturday. And then we have another guy who was with us at the game on Saturday who's not been on the show before. We have Kofi. Hello, Kofi.
Hi, Noel. How you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you. So Kofi was out with us in Amsterdam, and it was we had a big jolly with Kofi, so he's going to be coming in now and again to join us on the show. So welcome, Kofi. We hope that your expert opinion will be welcome as much as the other two gents, so we'll see how we get on. So time to talk about the game. I mean, people were saying after the game, oh, it's good to be back, you know, same old Tottenham. I did not like it. I did not enjoy it one bit. I mean, obviously I enjoyed the result, I enjoyed the end, but it was a really painstaking first 70 minutes, I felt. And I felt like it was sort of down to Poch more than anything else in terms of the formation and the team selection. I just felt he made us far too narrow. And he sort of just spoke about that afterwards in some of the presses and some of the media, that he felt that they didn't play the way that he sort of wanted them to, or he made a tactical error. And then he also mentioned the fact that we didn't pass it quick enough. But for me, isn't that something that should have been coached, should have been instilled in them when they went out there? That's what confuses me. The fact that obviously it's the first game of the season, everything should be right, including the intensity. And we do seem to struggle first half in games. Obviously Eriksen didn't start, and Vertonghen didn't also start. It wasn't even in the squad, which we'll speak about in a bit. But I'll start with you, Lee Curtin, because you did enjoy the game with me, even though afterwards I don't even remember speaking to you about the game because I'd already had a few Amstels by then. What were your general thoughts on the game? And do you agree with my sentiments in terms of the fact that we should have been readier for the game? We should have performed better in that first half, or was it just a general, you know, Aston Villa coming to play on the counter, so they sat back and therefore, you know, they were basically ready for anything that we had to throw at them?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of everything chucked in there, actually. It was definitely, you could see definitely first game of the season nerves within some players. You could see Villa, the way they'd set up, were looking to try and soak up as much as they could and potentially hit us on the break. The way we set up wasn't ideal, but I do get what you're saying. It's one thing with footballers and certain teams, that it does always leave a fan scratching their head sometimes when a manager has to come out and highlight the fact that we were playing too slow. You know, Pochettino, early days at Tottenham, was renowned for high tempo, high press. You know, not letting teams out, not teams off the hook. You know, we shut them down in their own half, in their final third. And it's kind of not been that way for the last couple of seasons. At the way we start a game, and then we just don't take care of the ball properly. I just don't feel we're professional enough sometimes with the ball, thus allowing a silly goal to go in at the other end. Now, we've been there before. We was there last season. How many times did we do that towards the end of last season when we started letting games get away from us? We control the ball really well. We're not saying we don't. We do. We keep possession really well. We probably blow teams away with our possession stats. But we're not getting that first goal sometimes. And when we don't get that first goal and the other teams get it, it's a nightmare to break them down. They already come ready to defend a 0-0. You give them a 1-0 head start and you're really up against it. So I was disappointed with the first half in terms of the way, how slow we were with the ball. And even in the second half, to a certain point, there was times when we just had one touch too many. You know, you just needed two touches. And I sat there screaming it, two touch, two touch. Even Lamella, when they scored the goal, he had a third touch that was totally unnecessary. The ball went back to him from our corner and he only had to whip it in. He just had to whip it and he had some stupid touch where he tried to roll his foot over the ball and he got robbed. And when we went to two touches in the second half, they couldn't live with us. We stretched them left, we stretched them right. And ultimately, we got the goal. And I think as everybody kind of believed then, once we got the first, they weren't going to keep us out for 20 minutes. You know, there was no way. So it was a little bit of everything. But yeah, we certainly had ourselves to blame, definitely.
But it felt almost like, because we have struggled before in games like this, and we are going to struggle, I think, at home when teams just do come and sit behind with men behind the ball. And we used to struggle more at the old White Hart Lane, and sometimes we flirted with it at Wembley. Sometimes we went to wing backs, which then enabled the full backs to go further up, obviously, as they're playing as wing backs. They certainly didn't do that enough, I thought, first half. And it just seemed like it was a bit too flat. Everything was very, very central. And it seemed like almost the players were waiting for Eriksen to come on. And I know that sounds strange. And there's been discussions all over social media about whether he was the game changer or, you know, whether it was a formation change, because they both seemed to happen at the same time. Winks apparently did have an injury. Sissoko then played slightly centre. They went sort of 4-2-3-1. But then when I was looking at it before Eriksen came on, they were almost playing 4-4-2. And Sissoko was right wing and Moura was up front. And that we know that doesn't work. That was when Sissoko wasn't having his bad spell, because he's not a crosser. He doesn't really know what he's doing in those situations. He drives from the centre, as he did do for the third goal when he set up Kane. So that's Sissoko's skill. That's his position, is in the centre. So I thought it was silly to play him on the right of the diamond or whatever position he was playing in the first and the early part of the second half. So it was quite strange. So Dorset Lee, with regards to the Eriksen substitution, I just also felt the crowd lifted because we were waiting for it. And I think we could see in that first half that, you know, there was times when Lamella was getting the ball and Moura was getting the ball and they were just looking around, and it was almost like they weren't looking for him, but they don't necessarily see that pass. They don't necessarily have that head on their shoulders to know the right timing to cross the ball. And they do seem very hesitant to shoot, I think, which is why we didn't pretty much have a shot on target in the whole. We had a Moura header in the first half. Obviously, Kane's header was over. So with regards to the Eriksen substitution, what were your thoughts in terms of, do you think it was the player that changed the game, or do you think it was his presence which lifted the crowd and the players around him a bit more comfortable, or did you think it was actually just his play?
You know, I guess I think it's a bit more about what they know. So I think because they've played with Eriksen for so long and that kind of stuff, when he comes onto the pitch, they know what he's going to do. So they know what sort of position he's going to play. They know where he's going to play the ball and so on and so forth. With previous to that, we had Ndombele, Sissoko and Winks all in the middle. And I'm not sure which one of them was supposed to have been, you know, driving forward, or which one's supposed to be picking the pass or whatever. Because we know that Winks can do that kind of stuff. But for me, he seemed a lot more defensive minded in that game. Certainly, up until he went off, he was kind of more defensive minded. And I think that kind of confused people slightly in the team. And I think when Eriksen comes on, it brings the balance back because, you know, players go towards him, which then gives him that space to ping the ball to wherever he wants to. And he always seems to find that extra bit of space to be able to ping it where he wants it to go. And for me, I think that's what makes the difference. I think, yeah, it definitely lifted the crowd because everyone could see we needed some creativity, and everyone could see that we needed it to move quicker because it, like you say, it was very slow. It was the build-up. It was all in front of their back four. So no one was getting any kind of real penetration to it. No one was taking any shots. I mean, everyone around me was just screaming, shoot, shoot, yeah, for God's exactly. sake, you know. And I think that's what kind of gets in people's minds. You know, no one really knew who was going to do that. And for that goal from Ndombele, you know, it needed something special like that to then actually make Villa realise, you know, we've got a game on our hands. You know, we can't just sit and defend this. And once he'd scored, I don't think there was any doubt of what was going to happen at the end of that game.
Yeah, I think also when you do, and we discussed this after the game, like, you know, when you look at the players who weren't playing for us, in terms of the fact of Ali and Son, who would normally be the ones that we did rely on for that little bit more creativity, for a shot on goal, for a goal, for an assist, you know, we were lacking in that department in terms of maybe experience with getting a goal. So, you know, Moura and Lamela, obviously, they're good players. They've had good seasons in the past, but it was not necessarily the players that we're used to relying on in that respect. And Kane can get a bit isolated if he's not offering that support. And he was coming deep quite a lot to get the ball, which I always find is a sign of things not going well when he's having to come deep to try and conjure up something creativity himself. I do find that quite frustrating. So Kofi, we'll go over to you. So two people's performances that I'd like to discuss. Firstly, we'll talk about Ndombele, his full first team debut in the league, and then also Kyle Walker-Peters, who we were a big fan of the show and who was given a big opportunity. So I'll go over to you first to give me a little background on what you thought of Ndombele's performance.
Personally, I felt that Ndombele spent the first half finding his feet, and that's quite normal. You know, it's a big game, big stadium, new club, big transfer fee, and he was finding his way. Some nice little touches. It wasn't until he scored that I think he came into his own. The goal was a fantastic goal. He took it really well, curled it nicely into the corner. And after that, you could see that he'd relaxed. We could all see that he played a few sort of back heels and fancy touches. They all came off, which was brilliant. But you could see that he relaxed. Another thing that I really liked about him was when he scored his goal, it wasn't all about him. He was trying to encourage the team and he was saying, look, we can win this now. So he really had a sense of, I've done something, but actually this could spur the team onto something. So that was really good. So I think it was a fantastic debut because a lot of people can have that debut game and they just work out what they need to do. But he did that within 45 minutes. He got his goal, he settled, and he was encouraging the rest of the team. So, fantastic for me. And I think he'll grow and we'll see more of him. I'm sure he's got lots to offer the team. Kyle Walker-Peters, I feel, had a fantastic game at right back in that he was composed, he got some tackles in, he was able to push the ball forward. I think where he struggled was that I feel he was asked to play as a wing back. And when he got into a really progressive position, he wasn't able to either take on the last fullback or deliver the cross. But I don't think that's his fault because I don't think they're his strengths. So I think as a right back, solid. And you can't ask for more from the guy that's been thrown into a few games, a few big games. But going forward as possibly a wing back, not sure that he had it. And combined with what we've talked about, Sissoko was on that flank as well. And the two of them combined wasn't going to give you that forward pressure that was going to really worry another team.
Well, they weren't crossing, were they? That was the thing. I mean, obviously, there was one cross for Hector Kane's header that KWP did, which should have been a goal, to be honest. It was maybe slightly too high for Kane. That was a good cross. He won quite a few corners in that first half, which I think was obviously good and shows that he was getting to that byline. But still, I did feel there was a hesitancy with him to try and get past that last man. But I think that's a confidence thing as well. I think he's got the skills to do it. I really do. I think he is that type of player. But I just think he's still finding his feet in the team. You know, he's had so little game time and so much pressure when he has come on in these games. And sometimes he's been on the left-hand side as well, so that's been difficult for him. But I think if he can have a run in the team, which he might not get because Aurier looks like he's coming back to full fitness, then I think we will see a different player. But it's definitely difficult for him, I think, to sort of suddenly just step in and set the world alight. But I think it was an interesting game from him. Lee Curtin, on the day you were saying KWP was your man of the match, I believe, or was that the Amstel talking?
It wasn't the Amstel. No, he was my man of the match. I just felt he did what was asked of him. He defended well. He didn't get beaten. He got down the line. He won a few corners. And it's interesting Kofi picks up on him kind of not getting forward and being as effective. But Kofi also highlights the fact that Sissoko was hanging out on the right as well. And where our shape wasn't actually spot on, or the way Pochettino wanted it, he couldn't really get down there. He couldn't get at a man one-on-one because Sissoko was out there and dragging additional players out. So where you want to isolate a player, go one-on-one, he would have had that. I think it's Neil Taylor. I think he does Neil Taylor for pace every time. When Sissoko comes out and brings a player with him, you know, it starts to crowd the space a little bit. And it's just very interesting. I did see a stat earlier as well that the front three was so narrow, Lamela, Moura and Kane, that it actually impacted onto the midfield three behind them. So we didn't even have enough width. So as they came further back, and Kane, as you spoke about earlier, came so deep that probably pushed Winks further back and then moved Sissoko out even wider. So there was a knock-on effect until the second half, when it then showed Lamela going wider and Moura going wider. Mm. And Kane was then ahead of Moura once Eriksen came on the pitch, which created... Yeah.
So it was a formation change, as we said, I think, yeah, because when Winks did go off, I think it was a 4-2-3-1, and then there was Lamela on the wide left and then Moura was wide right. But again, both of them, just talking about their performances, I don't think they did enough for me. You know, we had so much possession, and those are the type of players who should go on drinking runs, and they should be getting shots in. They should. I wasn't impressed with both of them personally. I thought there was more of an opportunity to stake their claim for a place. As we mentioned, there's Ali to come back in the team, there's Son to come back in the team, there's Lo Celso to come back in the team, and there was Eriksen on the bench. All those four players could play ahead of both those two players. So that was a perfect opportunity for them to lay down their place and say, listen, like, this is me. I'm going to be able to do this week in, week out. I'm going to bang one in the top corner, or I'm going to, like, you know, whip in a good ball. So it was, a little bit disappointing for me, but maybe that was the formation again. Maybe that was the issue with them. They weren't playing in the positions they wanted to be playing. I'm not sure. So Dorset Lee, we've sort of touched on already that the Eriksen situation. Do you think he was on the bench because of his fitness, or do you think it was to do with the potential transfer abroad? What are your thoughts on that?
You know what? I'm totally lost now. I'm getting to a point now where I just really don't know what's going to happen with Eriksen. In my heart and in my head, for whatever reason, I just think he's going to stay. And I think he's going to sign a contract. But that's just me. I don't know why I'm saying that, but I've been consistently saying it for a while, right? So I don't think it's because of a potential transfer. I think it's because Pochettino had decided this was the setup he was going to go with. He wanted to see how it was worked. Maybe he was experimenting slightly. I mean, bear in mind, this is Aston Villa, right? They've just come up. They've got a whole new load of players. So, you know, maybe he felt that it was an opportunity to look at some of these other players, maybe put some of them in the window. I mean, let's be fair, Lamela's been with us for quite a while now and never really set the world alight. So maybe he's trying to give him a bit of a showing just to see what he could do. Yeah, I don't know. It's a really difficult one. But clearly, when Eriksen come on, you can see the class the man's got, you know, and... You can't deny it. So I think it's crazy if we do let him go. But
yeah, I think it was if we wanted one game to highlight the fact that we do still need him, no matter if Lo Celso is a world beater or not, I think we do, because if Lo Celso does get injured, then it's going to be a situation that we had on Saturday. So we would struggle, I think. And it is going to be really interesting to see what happens. So I'm sort of with you. I think, I don't know. I just don't think there's people to come in for him, because Levy wanted 125 million for him at the beginning of the season. Not going to get that. Madrid haven't got any money to spend because of the financial fair play. Barca aren't coming in for him. Atletico Madrid maybe potentially are talking about it, but it's not just as easy as he's going to go to Spain. Like, someone has to bid for him. he's not just going to jump on a Ryanair. He's not going to jump on an EasyJet flight and then suddenly rock up in, like, you know, Seville. Like, there has to be a bid, and I just can't see it coming in. And Levy's not going to take anything less than probably about 50, 60 million because he's Levy. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, it'll be an interesting few days, I think, to find out what's happening.
But But it, the other thing to remember is, you know, with Eriksen, he must know if he wants to go, he must know where he wants to go. I don't think it's a case if he just wants to go anywhere, because why would you want to go to the third best team in Spain, for instance?
Yeah. Well, he said he wanted. Exactly. So he said he wanted a new challenge, but he's not going to sort of plateau on that. I think he will want an upgrade. And maybe that's why he did turn potentially down the Man U move, because he wanted to try and instigate a move to a bigger and better club in Europe. But that doesn't seem to have materialised. So it's going to be interesting. So, and I think if you look at the poor performance in pre-season, obviously, you know, his penalties were horrible. Try not to remember those. But Lamela and Moura were informed players. So they almost deserved their place. The difference maybe would have been that you could have maybe played him instead of Sissoko, which is what I think the teams that Lee and I predicted would be the team last week when we did the show, as in like, play a little bit defensive, Winks and Sissoko in the centre, and then we'd have Winks in the middle, and then we'd have Ndombele and Eriksen a little bit deeper. But he decided to go for Sissoko, and that's what happened. So, Kofi, Jan Vertonghen's situation, were you surprised to see him in the stands, and were you a little bit perturbed, and are you still perturbed? Are you worried, or are you just like, oh, you know, these things happen in football, and, you know, there's always going to be difference of opinions and fallouts, but we shouldn't be worried that he's going to leave?
I was very much surprised, certainly, because Jan comes across as very much, I'm a Spurs man. And in some of the little quotes you'd seen and tweets you'd seen over the summer, it very much felt like that. So, absolutely, I thought he would start. Why wouldn't he start? He's Jan Vertonghen. I'm a little bit concerned because there's no injury worry there. It's not a tactical thing. Why wouldn't he even be on the bench? So you wonder, what is the reason for him not even being in the squad? I'm not too concerned about fallouts and arguments and people disagreeing. It's a football club. That's going to happen. Pochettino, you look at what he did with Danny Rose. Danny Rose was off. Danny Rose was telling the whole world that the club wasn't organised in the right way and wasn't spending money in the right way, and we were Googling to find transfers. And Poch sorted that one out. And I'm sure most people will agree Danny Rose was one of our best players in the second half of last season. So whatever spat there may have been, I'm quite sure that Poch and Jan can sort it out. So for me, it feels like there's something else there. Whether his head's been turned, whether, you know, someone's talking to him, I don't know. But I really hope not, because it does the job for us, you know?
So Kurtz, we were told that it was maybe because he was told that he wasn't going to be in the starting 11, and then he kicked off, and then he was told he wasn't going to be in the squad. And Poch did also say that he falls out with Vertonghen loads in training, because Vertonghen has very good football brain. And, you know, so it's not new for them to have like a little tete-a-tete, but obviously it is new for him not to be in the squad altogether. Although looking back at the first game last season, I think Trippier was not in the team, and I think Alderweireld wasn't even in the squad. So, Poch has got history of doing this kind of thing, and it not affecting the squad. It's just maybe the way he works. But I think, you know, and maybe he's resting him for Man City. You know, I'm hoping that's what it is, because we just can't afford to lose him, you know. And we looked at the goal that we conceded, and we just thought it wouldn't have been conceded if Jan was on the pitch. They would have dealt with that ball over the top better, or there would have been more organisation. And I know that Rose slid in and it was unlucky, because he then obviously went past McGinn, and then McGinn had a free shot. But it just felt like that if Vertonghen was there, the goal wouldn't have been conceded. So what are your thoughts?
No, agreed. I agree with that. And I think there's a couple of things. I think the boys have kind of touched on it. Poch does fall out with players, or, you know, whether it's over a difference of opinion, or if something's been said, or something that he just doesn't like or seen. The one thing we can always say, given what history has shown us, he never holds it against them, and they always come back in, and they always become part of the team if they're good enough. We've witnessed that with Rose, we've witnessed that with Toby. You know, there's never no bad blood there. They just get on. Even when Walker said he wanted to go. You know, I think it was right up until the last bit when Walker didn't, the first time he dropped him. You know, Walker still had a massive run of games as well. So I'm okay with that. The only thing that leaves me worried is the European window is still open. And, you know, when somebody's really like, you know, depending on how much Jan's actually boiling about something, you know, it just kind of leaves you always a little bit worried because we'll have nowhere to turn. But touching back on what Kofi said as well, has there been a more professional player for us over the last 4 or 5 years than Jan? I mean, Harry himself, you know, yeah, he's one of our own, but anybody that we've signed, has anyone been more professional than Jan? He's played when he's been, you know, when he's been injured, he's played back-to-back games throughout, even when Toby was missing. He's taken the next lad next to him, the youngster, whether it's Sanchez, whether it's Foyth. He's the one that walks and talks them through the games. I have no problem with his professionalism. So I'm not overly worried about if it's just a spat. And I hope it is just a spat. And I hope it is Poch going, well, you're not indispensable. And we are looking to move forward in a couple of years because Jan is, you know, he's not the youngest either. But we do need him. And I think it's one of those things and he'll bounce back. And I'm, again, agree with you. That goal doesn't happen on Saturday because, you know, Sanchez following a man into his own half is almost crazy. And then to see Toby even further ahead of him, I'm just like, hang on a minute, what's going on here? You know, you got Toby on the halfway line, Kyle Walker-Peters up in their final third, and, you know, and then Danny Rose is asked to come across from left back to the other side of the pitch. I mean, we was all over the place at that point, and that's not us. Not to be caught out of position. Like, I've seen us get done by a long ball before, but not be dragged around the pitch like that. That was crazy. So, yeah, we are, and everybody knows, we are a more solid unit when you've got Jan and Toby in there. So, you know, let's hope it's just a storm in a teacup.
Well, obviously, we know that Poch and Jan are big fans of the show, and they are subscribers. So, yeah, guys, just sort it out, you know, just be men, have a handshake. And, yeah, we'll hopefully see them both, well, see Jan and the first team on Saturday. And, yeah, hopefully all will be resolved. So there was a very, very lovely tribute by the club on Saturday to our former player, Justin Edinburgh, who was an absolute legend for us. And then he went on to be a legend in the management world for Newport and for Leyton Orient as well, and will be sadly, sadly missed. And he passed away from a heart attack far too soon. And it was an amazing tribute. It was really lovely to see. And I've watched it again online. There was loads of ex-Spurs players who were there in the 91 team. And Paul Allen was saying that he was kept awake the night before the FA Cup final when Terry Fenwick was meant to play. But then Terry Fenwick, I think, was injured, I believe, or was ill. And then so he was thrown in there and he was kept up by Gazza, I think, was apparently a story, I believe, which is classic Gazza, obviously. But it was really nice to see. And obviously his family were there before and for the whole game, but they were there to sort of hear the applause before the game. And so what are your thoughts, Dorset Lee, on Justin Edinburgh? Do you remember him as a player? Were you in and around White Hart Lane during his years?
Yeah, I could remember him, but uncompromising, always gave everything to the team. I don't remember him as a standout top player at the time, I've got to be honest, and there's no disrespect to him. He wasn't a star. Bear in mind, you had players like you say, Gazza and Lineker and players like that coming around at that time. But he was always one you could rely on. What I liked about him is he always had a bit of steel about him. He didn't take no, can I say shit? He didn't take no shit from anybody.
Too late now.
Too late. So, you know, for me, I thought he was always an integral part of the team. I did really enjoy the tribute. I thought it was a really touching thing. And I've seen some stuff from his lad on social media saying how much they appreciated it. So fair play to the club. I thought it was a really nice thing to do. And fair play to the fans as well, who really responded really well to it.
Well, he was with us for many years, and like he went through so many different managers, but he was always very, very solid and always gave his heart to the club. And then since he's got on, I think you've almost learned more about his character from obviously his management and you know, taking two teams up to the Football League, and the Leyton Orient tributes at the time as well were just amazing. You could tell that he was just a proper, really, really well-liked guy, and will be sorely, sorely missed. Kofi, what are your thoughts on Justin?
I have to agree with Dorset Lee. You know, the guy was just strong in the tackle and fearless. Just fantastic at left back. And always played with a smile on his face. You know, he was always cheerful and sort of, you know, having a bit of a laugh and enjoying his football, which is great. That cheerfulness and that spirit obviously continued while he was manager at a number of clubs where he bonded clubs together. You know, Newport had, you know, so many issues, so many problems, money issues, performance issues, but he went there and he changed the club around. And then at Leyton, you know, he's changed that club. They're going to remember him in, you know, such a great way. It was fantastic, their first game, where one of the players that he signed, who's his son's best mate, scored a goal. And is all, you know, even though he's not with us anymore, in some way he was there. You know, his spirit has pushed Leyton Orient on to continue scoring and winning games. But yeah, I remember him as no nonsense left back, you know, which is fantastic. You know, you always need that.
Absolutely. So yeah, he was in the team when I was first started going to games at around 1991. Same with you, Lee?
Yeah, it's about the same era, really, getting down to the lane and seeing more and more games. Yeah, because I remember him arriving along with Dean Austin, I believe. I think they both arrived at the same time, left back and right back. Just your steady 7, 8 out of 10 player every week. But back in an era of football where you just wanted somebody to win a tackle. You know, it wasn't about getting down the line and whipping crosses in. And, you know, he was a fullback, you know. And as you rightly say, he was in a team of, you know, Gazzers and Linekers. And the stars were starting to come through. And, you know, let's not forget, those players can only express themselves if there's somebody behind them doing a defensive job. And I did look at one of his stats. And I think he played like over 200 games for us or near on. And it wasn't too prolific. I mean, he's only registered one goal. But it kind of just goes to show you, you know, how, you know, he was there for nearly 10 years or 10 years. You know, so a solid professional, one that left the club, was loved by a lot of people in and around the club, as you can tell, came back, is in the ambassadorial role and on club days and on match days as a club official. So very sad. And it was a great tribute on Saturday. And as the boys have touched on, so glad to see many people kind of get up and show their respect.
Okay, so it's time to discuss our next game, which is against Manchester City, away, a tough game, but good to get the game out the way almost, I think. It's maybe quite a good time to play them. Obviously, they did play well on Saturday against a very poor West Ham through various different VAR decisions, but I think it might be a decent time to play them. And the way that our fixtures have turned out, actually, we play pretty much all of the top six away from home. I think by one, maybe Chelsea. And then the second half of the season, we've got them all at home. So in that respect, if we are in a good position come January, in theory, we should do okay towards the end of the season. Probably never going to work out that way, but you never, never know. So it's time for predictions. Now, before I talk about the predictions for this weekend and talk about lineups, I have to give Lee Curtin some props. Saying that, we've never gone back and we've never done a prediction before. And I always used to get 2-1 right. So I don't know why I'm doing this, but just because he was with me at the game and he kept on reminding me and I was drunk. So I'm going to play you Lee's prediction, and hopefully by the wonders of modern technology, this will work.
What is your score prediction? My score prediction is going to be a tight game that we finish off near the end, and it's going to be 3-1 and a cracking start to the season.
3-1, so KWP is not going to get my clean sheet that we're in my fantasy league team.
No, but he will give you an assist.
Oh, okay. Thank you. over to Tim. What are you thinking, Tim?
I thought you said Kane at the double as well. Was that?
That's a bit later on.
Okay, a bit later. Well, you also said KW was going to get an assist, so wrong. So you're getting like half a point.
So, a little bit harsh. It's a tight game that we finished off near the end.
Oh, a tight game. It was a horrible game. But yeah, you did well in that respect. So yes, fair play to Lee. So let's see if your predictions are going to be correct this weekend. So this weekend's a bit weird because obviously this is like one of the hardest games of the season. Normally we do... We're quite confident and we do predict victories. We sometimes say it's going to be tight and we predict draws. Like Dom predicted a 1-1 draw last week and that's why he's not on the show this week. No, joking. Let's talk about formation and let's talk about selection. So obviously Son is still suspended, frustratingly. And Lo Celso looked pretty decent in training from what I saw on the website today. He looks like he's... you know, in getting used to his surroundings. I think it's unlikely that he will start, but it would be good to have him coming off the bench. So what would you go for, Kofi, in terms of starting lineup? Would you start Eriksen? Would you start Vertonghen? Would you stick with KWP as right back? And would you go with a 4-4-2 or a 4-3-3 or 4-2-1? Would you maybe introduce wing backs?
My feeling is that City will give us the opportunity to go forward a lot more. They're definitely not going to sit in. They are going to be attacking. So we can go with a bit more of an attacking lineup. So I think Winks, Ndombele and Sissoko felt a little bit defensive. So absolutely, Eriksen's back in for me. Vertonghen's in. Whatever is going on, it doesn't matter. It's a big game and we want to win this game. So Vertonghen plays, Eriksen plays. I don't think we play with the fullbacks overlapping so much. I think KWP has shown he's strong as a fullback and let him play as a fullback. We know how powerful City can be coming forward. And I think it's going to be better for him to play deep rather than play up on the halfway line and try and run forward. So I think a more attacking lineup, a more positive display, and we'll have the opportunity to play positively because City will come at us as well.
To be fair, if you think about the game last season, we did actually play quite well. We should have maybe even won the game, I think. Obviously, we did have Son, who broke quite a few times through their back four. But they're definitely susceptible at the back, I think. And Edison had quite a good game as well, from what I remember. So I think... yeah, there's going to be potential for opportunities, like you said. So it's just a case of us taking them. So I will go for a prediction from you at the end, but I'll just refer to the two Lees now with regards to selection. Dorset Lee, would you agree with Kofi in terms of bringing Vertonghen and Eriksen back in and taking out Sissoko and Sanchez?
Absolutely. Absolutely spot on. I totally agree with what Kofi said. I think we go with a far more attacking play. I think you've got to bring your best players in. So for me, Eriksen's got to be in. Vertonghen's got to be back in. For definite.
And Kurtz, you're obviously in agreement because, you know, it's just what it's what you do.
Well, actually, I would leave Sissoko in. So it'd be Winks would be the one who would miss out for me.
Okay.
So it'd be Eriksen, and definitely I'd definitely have Jan back in.
So how do you play then? So how far up the pitch does Ndombele play then? What is it, a diamond or? What's your talking? Get your chalkboard out. Get your whiteboard out. Come on.
I just think we almost set up. I think we almost set up the same way we did on Saturday, with the front three having learnt their lesson a little bit more. We've got a week to make sure that Lucas and Lamella get it right in terms of the width that they're meant to be providing. They killed Winks a little bit because they didn't give him the width to pick a pass either. So I think we go very strong in the middle. Just because that's probably where City's strength lies. You know, they've got De Bruyne who will make powerful runs through and he'll try and break and try and thread passes through. So I'm looking at Ndombele and Sissoko to break that up and almost take him out of the game a little bit. that's where they tick. They tick in the middle of the pitch, you know, trying to free up Sterling. So let's break it down in the middle there. And I think those two do it very well. And keeping Eriksen in the team gives us a chance to counteract them and give them a bit of a taste of their own medicine.
So you would want, who would you want taking the ball off the centre-backs and sort of rotating play?
Eriksen on it. I'm quite happy. From what I've seen with Ndombele, he's more than capable of doing that, by the way. More than capable. So you're now looking at two players that can come and take it off them. Ndombele looks like he can carry it forward. And he's quite tidy with a pass, by the way.
Yeah.
Eriksen comes and takes it, and he picks a longer pass with a lot more accuracy. So you've got a double threat of players that are both very, very capable of doing. So that's how I'd set up.
Okay, cool. All right, so Kofi, what would you go for in terms of predictions then? How do you think it's going to go?
2-1 away win.
Kofi's been on the juice. He's on the juice.
I think we can be confident up there. You know, we all know what happened in the Champions League. We all know that when we played them in the league game, we had more chances. They know we should have won that game. Come on. And I think Kane is very confident at the moment. He'll be talking to the boys. He'll get them firing. And it's an opportunity. You almost think, we didn't have a great game on Saturday, but get it out of the way. It's done. We got the 3 points. We didn't play well. It's not often that we don't play well and we still win. So, yeah, I think we're confident. We can do this.
Good. I like that. Good stuff. And we've obviously got our best player from the Champions League quarterfinal, VAR, who's now on our side, on our team. So, brilliant. He's going to be able to help us. Kurt, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm going with...
The new soothsayer in the show.
Nearly Kofi, but I don't quite share the same optimism. However, I'm going for a 2-2. I think it'll be very similar to the game up there last time, actually. So I think it'll start off quite open, to be honest. And then it's who's going to want to close shop first. So I'm going to go for 2-2. But I think we'll give them we'll have a real good go at it.
Okay, good. I'm liking this so far. Dorset Lee, are you going to bring the tone down by saying we're going to get stuff 4-0?
Oh, mate, this ain't Don, you know. I'm not being Don. No, I, to be honest, I really feel that this could be a really exciting open game. I think with them going to be so confident after smashing the Spammers 5-0, I think, you know, with us playing against a defensive team and getting the win, will bring some confidence. Kane's on, I think he's on a mission. I mean, he looks super, super fit as well. So for me, I think it'll be a bit of an end-to-end stuff. And I just got this feeling it's going to end up with us winning 3-2.
Wow.
Heart tablet.
You can tell I know absolutely nothing about football.
Well, who knows? I said that. I think that about Lee. And then look what happened last week. So, you know, maybe next week I'll be playing this exact clip and then we'll all be celebrating and I'll probably still be out. Okay, wicked. Oh, dear. Okay, what am I going to predict? This is really, really tough. Okay, I'm going to be a Don and say 1-1. But I do think it's going to be an open game. But I just don't see... who knows? Oh, hang on. We've got someone giving another prediction. Is it 2 barks for a goal?
Jesus, I don't know whose dogs they are. They're not mine.
not another word to be said. Right, okay, gentlemen, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on board once again. Kofi, been really nice to speak to you again and have your insightful input, and hope to have you on the show again very, very soon. So once again, we are the Thing I Love Most show, and we are available on Audio Boom, which is where you can probably listen to it now. So we're on Spotify, we're on iTunes, please do subscribe. We are also available on YouTube, where we do random videos. If you do want to hear and see more of Dorset Lee, then he is Lee the Dorset Spell on YouTube, where you can see some of his reviews on games and some opinion pieces as well that are really good. So please do check him out. And we're also on Facebook. We have a Facebook group. We have our Fantasy League. which is one thing I didn't talk about. Okay, Fantasy League. So we had our first week of Fantasy Leagues, and I just want to check to see who was the top of the league, because Rodney did send it to me earlier on. And so I just need to tell you who the top four were, and it definitely wasn't me. So 118 points Alfie Addy got. Congratulations to you, Alfie. And then we got Lenny's 11, Lenny Strutt, and then we got Darkness. Got Darkness, your NW, says he's a Liverpool fan. Oh, Lord, get out, Darkness. Congratulations to you guys for doing well in your first week. So we do have our Thing I Love Most Show Fantasy League, actual own league, where you can enter if you still want to, and see all the stuff on Facebook. And we're also on Twitter, Instagram, TTILM Show. So please do get in touch if you do want to get involved, like Kofi, come on the show, give amazing predictions like Lee, and then, yeah, you're more welcome. Fantastic, guys. All right, we'll speak again next week. Enjoy the game this weekend, and once again, come on, you Spurs.